friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of my Savior, and I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, we're glad, Debbie and I are, that you've chosen to tune in today, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing. My, I'll tell you, friend, look, we're living in exciting times, are we not? Oh, it's difficult times, it's challenging times, but it's exciting time. And this season, friend, that I'm making this program in, the Christmas season, it's always an exciting season to think about the fact that God, eternal God, entered into the stream of humanity to seek and to save sinners like me and you. I mean, that's amazing. That's phenomenal. That's enough right there to get somebody up shouting and running just a little bit. I'm telling you, I'm glad that God is the God that He is. Hey, listen, friend, excited about the message? I've turned my Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture from that passage and then share with you, by the grace of God, what the Lord has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song that she has done. Look, some of her Christmas music, not some of it, all of her Christmas music. She's got four Christmas songs. They're as good as anything that I've ever heard, anything that she has ever done. I love them. And today she's going to do one of my favorite. They're all my favorite, by the way. My most favorite's the one that I'm using on the radio program. And today the title of it is There's Life in Bethlehem. And how true that is, friend, how true that is. There is life in Bethlehem. You enjoy the song, I'm sure that you will. And in just a few moments of time, I'll be back with the message that God has laid on my heart. Remember, it's out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Enjoy the song.
The decree went out to the people that they should all be taxed. Joseph went from Galilee, for he was not last. Mary, she was with child, brought her firstborn son. Laid him in a manger, for in the room there was none. There's life, there's life, there's life, there's life, there's life in Bethlehem. Get up, go out and tell the world that He's the great I Am. There's life. There's life in Bethlehem. Get up, go out and tell the good news. There's life in Bethlehem.
told you you'd like that, friend. How wonderful that is. And the good news is, there's life in Bethlehem. Friend, that house of bread, that city of David, that place where our Lord and Savior, God's only begotten Son, was birthed into this world. And listen, God did something mighty, did He not? To get Joseph and Mary, those espoused man and a woman who was going to be the carers of His only begotten Son. He had to move them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Listen, friend, God's Word and God's plan is absolutely amazing. Debbie, thank you for that song. Enjoyed it. Love it. By the way, I love you, girl. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Word of God says, thanks be unto God, which giveth us, or thanks be unto God, excuse me, for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, Paul has been talking about giving in chapters 8 and 9 in this second epistle that is written to the Galatians. Actually, he's talking about grace giving. Boy, I'll tell you, friend, listen, we ought to give. We ought to give liberally. We ought to give lovingly. We ought to give freely. We ought to give our best. I mean to tell you, and Paul, when he sums all of this up, after he even tells us something that's rather amazing, I'm telling you, the Word of God is phenomenal. Listen to what he said in verse 9 of chapter 8. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. How wonderful it is. Friend, listen, God did something amazing when He gave us His Son. God give us something, friend, that's eternal when He gave us His only begotten Son. When God sent Him into this world to a virgin's womb, God did something amazing. And Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's what I'm going to preach about today. In just a little while, I want to talk about God's unspeakable gift. Now look, it's a paradox here what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to speak about something that's unspeakable. And you say, shouldn't you speak about it? Oh yeah, we ought to speak about it. And we ought to cry loud and spare not. We ought to talk about, friend, this gift that God has given to us. But you know what the word unspeakable means? It means unutterable. It means that it cannot be told out. And can I tell you, friend, after I get done with this message, after I preach everything that God has laid on my heart, or at least as much of it as I can, I don't care how extensive I would be, how exhaustive I would be, how exhausted I would become. Look, friend, I've not just begun to tell out the story how this man by the name of Jesus, who was Mary's virgin-born son, but God's only begotten Son, listen, it's a message that cannot be spoken out, but I'm going to try just a little bit today. Thank God for God's only begotten Son, this unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable is used only one time in the New Testament. And right there it is, found one time in the New Testament. Listen, when we think about this season, we think about it being a season of giving and receiving. Do you not? I think about that. I don't know about you. I like Christmas. No, I don't like a lot of the traditions man has made about it and connected with it. I don't like exactly the way it's been marketed and pressed and pushed. I don't like how it's been criticized and how that Kwanzaa and Hanukkah is pushed into it and all the above. Let those communities have their celebration. Let them celebrate their history and the special things in their ethnic group. I like that. I want them to. And let's face it, folks, Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about the birth of God's only begotten Son. But listen, friend, I like receiving gifts. I like giving gifts. Maybe more than I like receiving them. But I'm going to be honest, I like getting them. I certainly do. But can I help you out a little bit? Maybe you're still shopping. Maybe you're still trying to find something for your loved one. Can I tell you what you need to avoid? Avoid those gifts that say one size fits all. Don't buy a set of bath scales for your wife, sir. That's not a good gift to give. Don't buy a gift that says no returns. And by the way, wrinkle cream? No, that ought not be on the top of your list. But I'll tell you, friend, listen, we can get a gift. We can get a gift of eternal life up from God Almighty. We can get it if we just simply, friend, trust His Son. You know what God did more than 2,000 years ago? God gave mankind the greatest gift ever, friend, ever given to man, ever offered to man. And you say, what was it, preacher? Well, it wasn't what, it was who. It was His Son. And you know what? In His Son we have a what? And you say, what do you mean? Well, in the book of John chapter 13, or 17, excuse me, verse 3, the Bible said, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Can I tell you, listen, friend, when we get Jesus, God sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gifted His only begotten Son. He sent Him into the world, friend. But it's up to you and I to receive Him, up to you and I to accept Him as our Savior. And as we do, we get a who. We get God incarnate. We get God fleshed out. We get God born of a virgin, but we also get eternal life. When you get Him, you get eternal life. And how wonderful, oh, how wonderful that is. This is truly the only gift that keeps on giving. You ever seen the nesting dolls? One time my sister-in-law Sharon went to Israel, to Russia, and she came back and she brought Debbie a gift of nesting dolls. And if you know what nesting dolls are, they're little dolls, they call them, are made out of wood. And when you open it up, it's another little doll inside. And it goes right on down to the really small dolls. They're cute. They're really, really cute. You know, I mean, you can reach the end of those. But can I tell you, friend, listen, this gift that God give, this gift that keeps on giving, it's kind of the opposite of the nesting dolls. When you begin to open Him up, you know what it does? It opens up not to something smaller. It doesn't decrease in size. When we begin to unpack the Son of God, when we hear about Him, read about Him, we see Him enlarged. We see Him getting bigger and greater for the glory of God. And you know what it'll do? It'll take eternity, hallelujah, to continual revelation of God to us, of His only begotten Son. Listen, I wouldn't miss that. I wouldn't miss that for the world. But can I tell you what God's done? God has been gracious enough to give us somewhat of a foreview of His Son in this life, in the Gospels. The Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And now listen, they're not a complete biography of Jesus' life. They're not a biography at all, but they're a witness, friend, to a number of the divinely selected incidents or events in the life of Jesus Christ. They set before us, friend, His person, Jesus in His person. And although it's incomplete, although the story is incomplete, can I tell you what they are? They're divinely inspired. They're divinely perfect. And they are a great revelation, friend, of who Jesus is. Now look, in the four Gospels, Jesus is set forth in a similar and yet a different way. They're similar, but they're distinctive. And that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to look at how that He's presented to us in the book of Matthew as a sovereign, in the book of Mark as a servant, in the book Luke as a son, in the book of John as God Himself. And oh, what a marvelous look that it is. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. As we open the New Testament up, we read in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, He said, the book of the generation of, not generations now, generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. How wonderful that is. What a marvelous thing that is for this converted tax collector, this man by the name of Levi, who was a part of the priestly family, who had sold out on his nation, worked for Rome. But oh, when he met a man by the name of Jesus up there at Capernaum on the Via Maris, I listened, friend. Jesus said, look, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew Matthew left all that he had and lit out after Jesus. Well, I just think that's wonderful, don't you? Here's a converted Jew writing to the Jew about the King of the Jews. And when he opened up the book that bears his name, inspired by the Spirit of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, he said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Right there, bless God, God, through a few words in just a moment or two of time, bridge the Old Testament with the New. I mean to tell you, over 400 years had passed of silence. God had said nothing since Malachi went off the air. But God had promised, close the Old Testament out with the promise of a king coming and a kingdom over which he would rule. Listen, listen, when the New Testament starts, you know what God does? God just reaches back through the writings of Matthew, gets hold of the Old Testament, brings it into the New and says, hey, here's how I'm going to fulfill my word. I'm going to fulfill it through my Son who is a sovereign. He is of the royal seed of David. He is of the regal seed of Abraham. Oh, I want you to know, Abe, Matthew wrote about a king and his kingdom. We can see that all the way through. We can see it in the number of times that he speaks about the kingdom of heaven. We can see it in the great Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7 when as the king, Jesus was speaking the law of his kingdom to the subject of his kingdom. How is a king with power and authority not only just to speak, but to prove it with miraculous power, doing 10 miracles in those two chapters? Oh, how we thank God for His unspeakable gift. How we thank God for His sovereign Son. But we step out of Matthew into Mark, and we find, friend, listen, how that Mark wrote with the Roman world in mind. And you say, how'd he get that, preacher? Well, in how that he wrote and what that he wrote in it. Boy, I'll tell you what, Mark, when I listen to the Word of God about men like Mark and Peter and David and Abraham and Moses and other men who come short of the glory of God, but we're delivered by God, we're forgiven by God, we're renewed by God, recovered by God, restored by God. Boy, it gives me hope. Listen, this man Mark, he might have been a failure in Acts chapter 13 when he left that great evangelistic team of Paul and Barnabas. But I'll tell you what, friend, he was chosen by God to set forth a picture of the perfect servant of Jehovah. Matthew looks at a sovereign. Mark looks at a servant. And a servant Jesus is in the book of Mark. Oh, friend, listen. You know what the Gospel of Mark is about? It's about a servant and the action. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, it is a gospel of action. It's a gospel of the power of this servant in manifestation. All the things that Mark records, how he records them, is nothing less than absolutely awesome. Do you ever notice the key words in the book of Mark or in the gospel according to Mark? Never paying attention to those words straightway or immediately. I mean to tell you, one event, bam, happens, and then bam, right behind it, another event happens. Do you know Mark includes in those 16 chapters that he wrote at least 20 miracles? Isn't that amazing? Well, I'm glad for the gospel according to Mark. And I'm glad for the key verse in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. Mark says this, that Jesus said, he said, for I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom. Oh, thank God for God's unspeakable gift. Do you know what this servant was here in the book of Mark? Do you know how else God pictures him. He pictures him as an ox. And they tell me that an ox, it's a beast of burden. It's a beast that works. They tell me that an ox, when he's trying to pull a load, will even get down on his knees and pull so hard that his heart will bust. Isn't that amazing? Mark says, bless God, that Jesus is the servant of the one true God. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for how that Mark presents him as one, listen now, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death. Listen to this now, even the death of the cross, according to what Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 and following. Hey, friend, thank God for this sovereign Son of God. Thank God for this willing servant of God. In Luke, we step out of Mark into Luke and have got to hurry. We find this Gentile writing to the Greek world, of intelligentsias, of the intelligentsias, those, bless God, who had a high degree of intellect, if you will. I mean, they were cultured and courtly. I mean, to tell you, friend, in all that they did, they wanted the best, did they not? As far as man could present, even they wanted the perfect man. And that's what Mark did. God said, or Luke did. God said, all right, Luke, you write about Jesus. I'm the perfect man, the Son of Man. Oh, he's my son. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. And that was Jesus' favorite title. Do you know what Luke does? Luke connects the Son of God with the Son of Man. He connects his deity with his humanity. And he does it in a wonderful way. He does it in a way that we can see that Jesus Christ was both man and God. Fully man, fully God. Very man of very man. Very God of very God. Of the perfect man as the Greek wanted him to be. The perfect man as sinful men needed him to be. Oh, the perfect man as God designed him to be. How we thank God for his unspeakable gift. Luke sets forth the Son of God. Listen, as the Son of Man perfect. And I've got to hurry. Time's about gone. But look now. Look, if you will, in John. Oh, listen. We see him as a sovereign in the book of Matthew, as a servant in the book of Mark, as a son in the book of Luke, but we see him as a Savior in the book of John. Oh, when John put his pen to parchment, he didn't have the Jew in mind alone. He didn't have the Roman in mind alone. He didn't have the Gentile or the Greek in mind alone, but he had the world in mind. He had me and you. He had anyone and everyone in mind. And when he began to write, he said, listen, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he said, that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Hey, listen, friend, Jesus brought God down to man. Jesus manifested God to man. In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Philip said, hey, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, have I been so along with you, Philip, and you have not seen me? Why, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hey, according to Colossians 1:15, Christ made the invisible God visible. I'm telling you, friend, according unto John 4:28, in that conversation of Jesus with the woman at the well, He made the incorporeal God corporal. Hey, He put hands and feet on a spirit. He fleshed God out. He made God touchable. Hey, listen, friend. Tangible. God was fleshed out in a body. Now look, there's some things about John's gospel that we find omissions of. We don't have any genealogy because God doesn't have one. He has no beginning, no end, no mother or father. We don't see anything about a temptation because, listen, God can't be tempted. We don't see Him agonizing in the garden like we did in Luke and Matthew. God doesn't pray. Whom would God pray to? And look, friend, God sent His Son into the world so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. John said, these things have I written that you might believe, and that believing you might have eternal life. Listen, friend, I've run out of time before I run out of message, but God sent us an unspeakable gift. It's unutterable. It's unfathomable. We can't tell it all, but we can believe it and receive it. And that's what John says. 99 times he uses the word believe or one of its cognate forms. And today, if you'll just simply believe, if you'll just simply believe that God has sent His Son in the world to seek and to save that which is lost, you can be saved. If thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Him. Take this gift today. Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.